What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Alrighty, third hour, coming to you live from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Tiki and Tierney, 3 hours a day, 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific. CBS Sports Radio, simulcast here on CBS Sports Network. On Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, if you want to wish him well in his little celebrity endeavor. Playing at Yankee Stadium.
Now batting for the celebrity team. Tiki Barba, number 21, Barba.
CeCe's got his thing going on tonight, so Tiki will probably steal 9 bases and hit like 9 inside the park home runs. Tiki is back tomorrow. I want to get in some hoops here, but I just want to, I know many of you are driving home, at least on the East Coast, starting to maybe miss the flow of the golf day, and I don't want to reset stuff and get overly repetitive here. I know acted his update. We know Koepka was phenomenal, shot a 63, Tiger's 2 over. But I do want you to at least hear this because I thought this was important. With the 6 players that went out, two marquee groups. Dustin Johnson right now is even through 12. All right. And he's not really getting it going. Phil has been battling a ridiculous push. Every time I look up, we got the tube on, obviously, here in our studio. He's just airmailing one to the left and basically almost out of bounds a few times. But he's even through 11. Jordan Spieth was minus 2 for a while, so he got caught up in some stuff. He's plus 1 through 11. John Rahm is obviously a masher and very capable. He's plus 1 through 12. Jason Day is plus 1 through 11. Rory is plus 2 through 11. And I say this not to suggest that, I know Fleetwood is up there, and Fleetwood is going to win something very big very soon. Tommy Fleetwood is minus 3. Danny Lee's playing pretty well, very well, minus 5. And there's some others within shouting distance, I guess. Fowler's minus 1. He's been done for a while. But you need a long hitter to have a low number today to catch Koepka. And right now, the 6 names I just ripped off, even, plus 1, plus 1, plus 1, plus 2. Not getting that so far. So we'll see if it changes as the shadows begin to descend upon beautiful Bethpage Black in Farmingdale, New York, about 30-something miles from here. All right, so I am very happy. I want to get to the NBA. I want to get back to Zion. Very happy that this possibility had a very short shelf life. I'm very happy that Zion's people are effectively snuffing out the notion that he might not play in New Orleans and might exercise a power play. Obviously, Eli did this years ago with the NFL. Stevie Francis did this, said, I'm not going to play for Memphis. We've seen this before. And some baseball players have done this along the way. He does not look to be in any sort of, direction where this will happen, that he's going to try to replicate that. And I like that. That's good for the NBA. It's good for him. And he doesn't seem to be that kind of a young man either. So I'm not exactly surprised that he's going to accept his NBA fate, at least the first contract, and for Pelicans fans, hopefully beyond, and play there, for the team that's drafted him. His stepdad said this, basically said that one thing we've taught him for a long time is that this is we should all subscribe to this quote. I paraphrase, but the gist of it was, what you can't control, whatever. What you can control, try to fix it. Try to control it. I mean, that is just good stuff. It's simple, but it's fair. So if the Pelicans draft you, although if you want to be literal, you can challenge his stepdad's words because he actually can challenge what he was handed as a result of the draft. He can go back to Duke, which he's not. He could go play for Team USA, get a couple of $1 million from Nike and say, whatever, I'm next year, somebody else draft me. But he's not, which opens up this conversation. On opening night, let's go around the horn here, get this going. No need to expound, although every time I say that, D-Cell gives a short answer, and Santer always seems to bust into a soliloquy, so we expect nothing less today. D-Cell, on opening night, is Zion playing? On opening night, where is Zion playing? Opening night.
New Orleans Pelicans.
He's playing for the Pelicans. Okay, Mike, on opening night, where is Zion Williamson playing?
This is a tough one for
me. It is a tough one.
You know, it's actually really not that tough. I was just looking at if New Orleans had their schedule out to see if they're playing on the road. He's going to be with the Pelicans. There's no question in my mind.
Really?
He's playing for the Pelicans. I was just wondering if maybe he was going to be, like, on the road in, you know, I don't know, Orlando.
They're trying to be cute.
Yeah. He's going to be with the Pelicans. The question really is where Anthony Davis is going to be. I don't think there's any question that Zion is with the Pelicans. All the things that we're hearing from his former college coach, you're talking about his dad, mm-hmm. his stepdad. It seems like everybody, his meeting with the Pelicans apparently went very well.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be a Pelican, and he's going to usher in a new whatever.
A new brand of basketball.
There it is.
A new array of hope.
So it's a matter of who he's playing side by side with.
And that person's not going to be Anthony Davis. Now, he'll be playing next to Jrue Holiday. He's not going to be playing next to Anthony Davis. And I don't disagree, by the way. I believe he'll be on the Pelicans as well. I just wanted to see what you guys thought. The real debate and the real intrigue and the real possibilities open up, when you begin to factor in where will Anthony Davis be traded to? Because he is going to be traded. You can hear, you can read, you can listen, you can react. Trust me, he ain't playing all the Pelicans on opening night. Not there. You know, David Griffin can say what he said on lottery night. That's what he's supposed to say. David Griffin can intimate that further leading up to the draft and into free agency. It means nothing. Anthony Davis will be on a different team. So let's try to figure out what team Anthony Davis will be on. And I believe the three teams that jump out of the, you know, right off the page would be, in no order, the Celtics, the Knicks, the Lakers. I'm trying to find a wild card. The Nets as a wild card? Is it a little wild card? Nets have some good young assets. I'll throw them not quite below the cut line, but not on the first page of the leaderboard since it's a golf kind of a day. The first page of the leaderboard's got the Celtics, the Knicks, and the Lakers. And I would think that it's going to be the Celtics and the Knicks, you know, a couple of the shots. I guess we don't have to continue the golf analogy throughout this entire discussion. I was going to say a couple of the shots in front of the Lakers. I believe that the Celtics and Knicks are in a stronger position to land him, asset-wise and emotion-wise. Because let's face it, they're hell-bent on not sending him to the Lakers. The only way you send him to the Lakers and acquiesce to, you know, the needs and demands of LeBron and on some level the desires of Anthony Davis, although he did say he'd also play for the Knicks, and he did offset what his dad said about the Celtics, so we can only take that as him tacitly saying, all right, maybe I would play for the Celtics long-term, maybe I would sign there. But the only way what you do is you bring the Lakers, you have to give the Lakers, this is important, and I have to do this well, you have to give the presentation to the rest of the league that the Lakers really are in the mix, even if you don't want to send them there and you have no intention of doing so. You got to throw them in, because if the Lakers are there, everybody knows how desperate the Lakers are as the time's ticking on LeBron's prime. They got to make something happen. So, you know, you get the sloppy drunk at the bar into the equation, and then you suck the Celtics, by extension, the Knicks, and maybe the Nets, and maybe another wild card team into it, and you use the Lakers as a pawn. I mean, it's Anthony Davis. You don't have to be overly deceitful, because you're going to get a lot anyway, but you have to give the Lakers or the appearance that the Lakers are in play, all right? Now, I don't think they'll trade him to the Lakers. I don't think he'll be on the Pelicans, and I don't think he'll be on the Lakers. I believe he'll be either a Celtic or New York Knick. That's really what I believe. And I believe the trend is pointing, or that needle is pointing firmly in the direction of the Knicks. Because I think the Knicks will be enticed to trade Barrett. And listen, I know the Grizz have said they're going to take Morant, but if they take Barrett, then the Knicks would take Morant. Whomever the Knicks take at three, whomever the Grizzlies don't take at two, the Knicks are going to take. And the Knicks, and I understand this. Trust me, I get it, because they were woeful. I mean, it was a challenge for me to watch them, and they're my team. The Knicks have some players who are, number one, cheap. Number two, tantalizingly talented. If you haven't seen Mitchell Robinson play, I can't waste time on my show. Just trust me, take my word for it. Mitchell Robinson is going to be, he's already unique. He's going to be special, and he's cheap because they got him in the second round. Now, whether or not you like Trier, he's kind of a ball dominant guy, doesn't pass that much, whatever. Where do you stand on Kevin Knox? Okay. I think Kevin Knox was a baby playing with men and playing with very few good teammates. So I personally think Kevin Knox, and I'm not in a rush for the Knicks to get rid of him, I think Kevin Knox is going to be good. I think he's going to be a high-level scorer. He already has a borderline, you know, as you project out body-wise, he's going to have that prototypical, you know, 6'8", 6'9", scorers build where he's thick enough to, you know, take a hit at the rim and keep going to finish the end one. He's going to be able to, you know, get his space on the blocks and hit a little fall-away jump shot. He's going to become a better three-point shooter as he gets his legs under him and learns, you know, one of the adjustments, and I don't think people really factor this in because they just focus on, can a kid shoot? But one of the things you have to look at in the NBA, and until you get in there, it's just a blur. You can't possibly prepare yourself for this, is the closeout speed of defenders. And, you know, it's not so much are the mechanics of, I'll just stay with Kevin Knox for a second, although this applied to Jaylen Brown as well and Jason Tatum and all these young guys, right? It's not so much the mechanics, although that's certainly, there's a technical aspect that you can't ignore, but it's that they rush it. They rush it because now all of a sudden in college you come off a screen or, you know, they reverse the ball and you catch it and you can basically wind up. It's like having a, it's like playing catch in the outfield. You just soft toss it. You lazily, you lob it to the guy you're playing catch with. But if somebody's, now imagine somebody trying to score. Now you got to rush up and you have to go through the crow hop and deliver a strike. It's the same thing in college basketball. You're catching the ball. If you get a pass on the hip, you just catch it. You look around. I got all day. Nobody's near me. Let me rise up. Let this one go. In the NBA, as soon as you catch it, somebody who's 6'9 is racing at you, who is very adept at timing their jump to disrupt your shot. So I say all this because I think Kevin Knox is going to be very good. And independent of my desire / need for one of these years for the Knicks to finally be good, I'm going to actually look at this from the Pelicans' point of view, to be fair to my audience, so I don't get too Nick heavy here. If I run the Pelicans, right, unless the Celtics are giving me Jason Tatum, and the Celtics would be idiots to do that, and they won't, would I do a package of AD for Kevin Knox, third overall pick in the draft, and Mitchell Robinson? I would do it in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. Now, the Knicks have to, just to bring them back in, the Knicks have to be savvy enough not to give them everything like they gave the Nuggets when Carmelo was acquired. Because then when Carmelo got there, they had nothing, he had nothing to play with, and they had to build the team up, which they didn't really do very effectively outside of the 1 year when they won 54 games with Woodson. So I really think it will be a win-win for the Pelicans. Like, I understand you'll want to find a way to keep one of the 5, 6, 7 best players in the NBA there. He doesn't want to stay there. He's not. So you have to just reconcile the fact that he's gone, and you have to get the best deal for your team. Zion, just imagine, Zion, the number 3 pick, his college teammate, Barrett, who averaged 22.5 points with Zion there, so you know that they don't get in each other's way, that they can flourish. Zion, Barrett, Mitchell Robinson rim-running, making about $500,000, making nothing, rim-running and alley-ooping all night. And if you have to, Kevin Knox, as an ascending scoring small forward, if I'm the Pelicans and I own that team, and I answer this as objectively as possible, and I view it as I have to protect my asset, I would unequivocally make that trade if I'm the Pelicans.
Plus a ton of cap space.
Plus the cap space, of course.
And
yeah.
One more big vet free agent.
But that sounds good. The problem is, though, no free agents are going to run to. Now, do you overpay for Kemba? Do you trade Holiday? Do you pay for Kemba? I mean, I'm not saying there's nothing you can't.
Tobias Harris type or someone who's like a middle range.
A shooter.
Good player, but not a great player.
Maybe. That's something to think about, too. Yeah. So there it is. That's what I think is going to happen. Anthony Davis is gone. I believe it's going to come down to the Knicks and the Celtics. I know the Knicks are motivated to do this. I believe it will happen, but you never know. I mean, there's 2 months. I mean, there's still a lot of business, but that's what I feel today, and quite frankly, that's what I felt for a while. All right, coming up next on the show, this guy is great. Antonio Daniels, a ball of energy, legit opinions. He's going to join me next right here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right. Are you taking good care of your car? Show your vehicle a little love. Go to O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you'll get better parts, better prices every day. They've got the parts you need to get the job done right, from measuring tools, mechanic wire, motor oil to cylinder starter springs, from batteries, belts, and brakes to filters, fluids, and fuses. O'Reilly Auto Parts, they have it all. O'Reilly, stocked with high-quality parts and accessories at guarantee low prices. One-stop shopping for all your vehicle needs. Need something else? Well, the store's well-trained professionals are standing by to help. And if you don't have time to get to a store, hop online. Take care of it there. Just go to O'Reilly.com. So you can have your order shipped to your home or to a store. If you want to buy even more stuff, become an O'Reilly Rewards loyalty member and earn points every time you shop. Reach 150 points, earn a $5 reward. Keep going and earn double points, bonus points, even mega points. Or as Tiki says, mega points. I don't know why he says it like that. He says it so weird. Mega points. Plus, you get exclusive email-only offers. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Just switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. All right, just incredible basketball stories. I mean, we've told you a long time here on Tiki and Tierney. The NBA has morphed into not quite a 12-month-a-year gig because obviously the NFL takes over in September before training camps start up in October. But in essence, the NBA, you know, between the season and between the draft and between free agency, July 1, and that bleeds into the middle of the summer, deep into the summer, NBA is on absolute fire. Got a lot of stuff to talk about, and we do so with Antonio Daniels, who we love, Pelicans and Thunder studio analyst for Fox Sports. A lot of fire, a lot of opinions, not afraid to mix it up. What up, Antonio? How you doing today, buddy?
I'm good, BT. How you doing,
brother? I'm doing great, brother. Appreciate you calling in. Appreciate you carving out some time. So, listen, we're smart enough to understand what's real and what's not. And I know that David Griffin had to say this. I applaud him for saying this, that, yeah, we're going to try to figure out a way to keep Anthony Davis, blah, blah, blah. We all know that he's not staying. Anthony Davis wants out. So we all know that the Pelicans need to find a trade partner that will net them the most assets. And I was dissecting a couple of situations. The Knicks, clearly. The Celtics, the Lakers. Where's he playing next year, Anthony Davis?
You know, what's weird to me is now Anthony Davis has kind of flipped the script because he has a lot of leverage. He has a lot of leverage. So when he came out with the teams that he wanted to get traded to, two of those teams were, as you just mentioned, the Knicks and the Lakers. The Celtics weren't in there.
Mm-hmm.
And even though the Celtics have a good package that they can give back to the New Orleans Pelicans, if Anthony Davis tells Danny Ainge, if you trade for me, I am not signing long-term, that's a deal that Danny Ainge probably won't do. Because this is not a Paul George situation in Oklahoma City or a Kawhi Leonard situation in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
This is a little different because Anthony Davis has made it clear who he wants to play with. He wants to play with LeBron James on the West Coast, or he wants to play with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving on the East Coast. So now if you're David Griffin, I get it. I'm right with you, BT. You have to go out there and say, look, we're going to do all we can to get you to stay. But if he says he wants to go, you have to take a good hard look at the Knicks. And the fact that they have the number 3 pick, they have R.J. Barrett, they have Dennis Smith Jr., they have Kevin Knox. So you can put R.J. Barrett back with Zion Williamson.
Mm-hmm.
And then that buzz will be back in the city with those guys. So you have to take a good hard look at the New York Knicks situation and the assets that they have to offer.
Okay, so we're singing the same tune. We're on the same page. I wanted to throw this at you as well. Because the imagery of the – and I get it. Trust me, I get it. The Pelicans' front ticket office going absolutely bananas the other night.
Right.
And that was pretty poignant stuff. They were out of their minds, and good for them. But what if – and I don't know if this is the case, but what if – we'll play the game. What if David Griffin's opinion of either Ja Morant or R.J. Barrett was a little higher than his basketball – just his basketball opinion of Zion Williamson? But then you factor in – the bolstering the economic bottom line.
That's all a part of it.
I hear you. How do you balance that? How do you balance that?
I mean, the thing is, I don't think realistically. Let's be honest, because a couple of days, even on draft day, I said there were two teams that if they got the number one pick, that you had to give kind of consideration to whether or not you wanted to take Ja Morant before Zion.
Okay.
Not to say that they would do it.
Yep.
But you just had to give consideration.
I'm with
you. Those two teams were the Chicago Bulls and the Phoenix Suns.
The Bulls and the Suns. Why? Why those teams?
Because those teams are badly in need of a lead guard. Both of those teams are badly in need of a lead guard. Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton need someone to control that team. And then you need someone to package or put alongside Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. in that backcourt, alongside Zach LaVine. So those two teams need a lead guard. But with that being said, I highly doubt if Phoenix Suns or the Chicago Bulls had the first overall pick, because you do have to take into consideration what you just said. You have to take into consideration the buzz around Zion Williamson. Because I can tell you this for myself. I can tell you this for myself, BT.
Okay.
I can't tell you the last time that I was this excited to watch the draft lottery.
I know.
Alone.
I know.
Just the draft lottery. And then it's not because – and I love Ja Morant. I love Ja Morant. I think he's going to be a star. But it's not because of Ja Morant. It's not because of R.J. Barrett.
Yep.
It's not because of Cam Reddish. It's because of Zion Williamson and all that comes along with him.
Now, there's no doubt. We're talking to Antonio Daniels, 13 years in the NBA, former top five pick himself back in the day, and he's got a championship back in 99. Hey, do me a favor, by the way. You don't have to make this too long, but you just mentioned Chicago, and every time I mention Lauri Markkanen, right, Tiki rolls his eyes. I'm going to lay out. I know Markkanen's going to be terrific. Can you just – we're going to record this, and the next time my partner starts to roll his eyes at Lauri Markkanen, I'm going to actually play this. So I need Antonio Daniels to tell me what he thinks of Lauri Markkanen.
I need to know why Tiki's rolling his eyes.
I don't think because he watches him. That's why. But you tell me.
I like him. I like him.
But I need a little more than that if we're going to play it for him. Come on.
No, I'm saying, like, we forget how young he is and his ceiling. You know, what he can become, his potential. He is growing slowly but surely, and thus far around a situation that is not the best basketball situation.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's the most difficult situation for young players to be thrown into.
Yeah.
A situation that's all losing, where the front office is dysfunctional. Things are, you got different coaches coming in and out. Is this coach here? Is it Hoiberg? Is it this guy? Is it that guy? So many other things that are going on. And the fact of the matter is, he can run, he can shoot it, he can put the ball on the floor, and he's extremely versatile.
Mm-hmm.
In today's NBA, you can play him at the five, which is great. You can play him at the four, which is great, because of his skill set. And what I love is how much he grew from the beginning of this year to the end of this year. Completely different player.
I love him.
Confident.
I love him. I loved him in college. Let me ask you this real quick. What was your opinion on the Cavaliers hiring John Beilein?
You know what, man? The first thing I thought about when I heard that is, my first thought, I'm being honest, was now I see why Tyronn Lue turned down the Los Angeles Lakers. My first thought.
Okay.
They offered him a three-year deal. They offered Tyronn Lue a three-year deal, and he is an NBA championship coach.
Yep.
John Beilein, who is a heck of a college coach, has never coached in an NBA game in his life, gets a five-year deal off the jump. Off the jump. So my first thought was, man, the Lakers are really arrogant. That was my initial thought. The Lakers are arrogant, basically saying, we're going to offer you a three-year deal, and you should take it because we're the Los Angeles Lakers. That was my first thought. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You never know how college coaches will translate to the league. But I tell you what, there are two recent college coaches that had great success. Okay, you can talk about Fred Hoiberg. He didn't have the best success. But you look at Billy Donovan, Oklahoma City, making it to the Western Conference Finals. You look at Brad Stevens in Boston, making it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an argument for both sides, but you never truly know how a guy's coaching style, his coaching philosophy, his schemes, his age, how will he be able to relate to the younger guys? How all that is going to kind of, how all that's going to work at the next level.
Yeah, when you start to factor in egos and you know, guys making 70, right, 80, 90, $130 million,
right,
it's a little different.
Now
he
has to deal with something he's never dealt with before.
No doubt about
this
it.
This is different. The NBA is completely different than college. You
mm-hmm.
know, and I'm not just talking about athleticism and the talent. I'm talking about, you know what, when you're David Fizdale and you sit Mark Gasol in the fourth quarter, you're fired. You know, when you are Kevin McHale and you have an issue with James Harden, you're fired.
True.
You know, so right now, players have never been more empowered than they are today.
Yeah, no head. I mean, if there's a power struggle like with Pop and Kawhi, Pop won that one, but that is about the only one who's going to win any power struggle. That's just the way it is.
You're exactly right.
You know?
You're exactly right.
So I believe, talking to Antonio Daniels here of Tiki and Tierney, 13 years in the NBA, former lottery pick, NBA champ, 1999. I believe last night, if the Raptors, who just inexplicably lost their way after really dominating most of the game, if they hang on and they win that game and they don't waste seven threes from Kyle Lowry and all this, all the good that they did, if they win that game, it's absolutely a six or a seven-game series. The fact that they choked on it, I believe they lose now in five. I believe this series is unequivocally over. How about you?
I can't be a prisoner of the moment like that after one game. Either way, because I know for Toronto, both sides. Toronto is coming off a very emotional Game 7 win. That's tough to recover from.
Yep.
In Game 1. Look at Portland. They had to do the same thing. Toronto did. They had an emotional Game 7 win coming from 17 points down, winning on the road, then you travel back out. Toronto had to do basically the same exact thing. But then on the other side, you look at Milwaukee, who had over a week off. They had over a week off to kind of get guys back together, get guys back to health, get Nico Mirotic back healthy, get Malcolm Brogdon back healthy, and kind of get things back in gear. So yesterday was – I cannot overreact over one game because I've seen it. I've seen it too much. You know, I saw Paul Pierce say after Boston beat Milwaukee in Game 1, oh, you know what, this series is over.
Yeah, how do you say that?
There are adjustments that can be made, players that can play better. So there's a lot of other intangibles that can happen for the remainder of this series.
All right, man. And do we give Portland a fighting chance tonight or what?
I don't. But I didn't when this started. Like, yeah. It's just a bad matchup for Portland. It's a very bad matchup because if you're Terry Stotts, you have to make adjustments. But the adjustments that you may be forced to make are adjustments that you're not accustomed to making.
Such as? Such as?
Playing without a center.
Okay. Yep. Mm. I'll tell you, what a good story, too, Portland. What a great fact. I tweeted this Sunday, Antonio, when I genuinely felt bad for the Nugget fans, like Portland and Denver fans, two great venues, two teams with really good history, two very likable teams. Like, I felt bad that somebody had to actually lose that series.
Right.
You know?
Right. And what I liked about it is it's the fact that you have two teams that – if you're not a fan of the Portland Trailblazers or the Denver Nuggets or an avid NBA fan, you're not familiar with these teams.
Uh-huh.
Because you're not staying up. You're not staying up out west to watch Portland play.
Yeah.
You're staying up to watch the Lakers,
yep.
And you're staying up to watch Golden State.
And Houston.
So, right. But Houston's not out west.
No, I got you.
No, Houston's on Central Time.
That's true.
You know, yeah. So and I'll give you an example. I live in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
San Antonio played Denver first round.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm walking through the city and people are talking to me about basketball. You know how many Spurs fans knew Jokic's name? I heard him call every inch name in the book except Jokic.
Except his real name.
Jusevic, Vucevic. No one even knew his name.
Yeah.
But he is the best center in the league because it's not a sexy team. And a lot of people, if you're not an avid NBA fan, you're not familiar with the Denver Nuggets or the Portland Trailblazers.
That's true, brother. Antonio Daniels from Fox, and he does his thing for the Pelicans and the Thunder, an analyst in the studio, long-time career, lottery pick, and world champion as well, and obviously very good expressing himself. Terrific on the radio. Good job, buddy. I appreciate it, Antonio.
I appreciate you, BT. Thanks, brother.
Back at you, my man. There you go. He's awesome. A little late. We get the update from Mac. Here's Rich Ackerman. The blast is after that.
All right, BT, and this report is brought to you by Cabo, the universal remote that manages all your devices. Save $10 on the starter pack bundle with one-year service plan code ROME at CAAVO.com. It's been a great first round of the PGA Championship. Out to Bethpage Black we go. Here's Ann Liguori.
All right, Rich. Well, Brooks Koepka, he stole the show this morning with that course record 763. And then afterwards, he said that he wouldn't be surprised if there were more low scores out there. And Danny Lee of New Zealand has really been the only guy to come close. Danny Lee, he drained a 20-footer on the 18th to close out a round of 6-under-64. That's 8 birdies, 2 bogeys. Danny Lee finishing birdie to close to within 1 of Brooks Koepka. Phil Mickelson with birdies on 9, 11, 12 after bogeys on holes 7 and 8. he is 1-under through 13. Dustin Johnson is 1-under through 15. Jason Day, even par through 13. Jordan Spieth struggling on the back nine after two birdies on the front. He doubled the 10th, bogeyed the 12th. So Spieth, he's at plus one through 15 holes. Rich?
All right, and baseball today. The Nationals edged the Mets 7-6. The Brewers crushed the Phillies 11-3. The Rangers rout the Royals 16-1. And Oakland tops Detroit 17-3. I'm Rich Eckert.
Hey, it's golf's next major underway. It's the world's best eye in the prestigious Wanamaker Trophy. Tiger going for back-to-back, but obviously Brooks Koepka the big story. As Brooks Koepka shoots a course record 63. It's the PGA Championship all weekend on CBS. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio here. Let's see. Looks like Mr. Mickelson making a little late surge here as the shadows begin to creep into beautiful Bethpage. Let's see. Phil with back-to-back birdies. All right, Phil. Phil's minus one. Let's see. He birdied not. So he had he went par. That's how we started his day. We haven't really spent any time on Phil. That's not just a reference to where he's at. But here's what happens. So he goes par, 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 par. So he's even through six. And he gets a little wobbly. He goes bogey, bogey. So he's plus two through eight. And then he goes bird on nine. So he's back to plus one after nine. And then on 10, par, 11, birdie, 12, birdie, par, par. And I believe he's set up for birdie again. So Phil right now is minus one, looking at minus two. I mean, if he could ever, I mean, heck, even if he finishes minus two, based on where he was, you'd take it. But if he could get to, if he could finish strong, you know, few more reds, minus three, minus four, be on. Come on, Lefty. You know they're rooting for you. Gallery loves you. All right, time for the blast. Let's go, D-Cell.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, so since it's just you solo and there's no Tiki, we're only going to have 45 seconds before we buzz your ass. Just be ready.
I'm always ready. It's him you have to worry about going long.
Oh, come on.
Always.
No one has talked about Tiki being long-winded.
He's on the blast? On the blast?
I think you just get upset because he takes your time when he goes first.
I get
when
upset.
When you go first, you do the same thing.
I get upset when anybody takes my time.
There it is.
Go ahead.
Number one, the Eagles and Wentz have already begun talks for a deal that could top $30 million a year.
It's a lot.
Does Wentz really need to have a huge year to earn that deal? Or do you think he's going to get it no matter what happens?
He's going to get it either way because if he doesn't, if they don't sign him, there'll be 15 teams lined up around the corner to do it. And I don't think you're going to start getting into the situation like the, you know, like the Redskins did with Kirk Cousins, kick it down the road, franchise, franchise. Then it becomes really a detriment to the franchise and you lose him. Listen, I don't care what anybody. Carson Wentz is a blossoming superstar. I mean, last year, for all the critiques he's getting, you know, his touchdown-to-pick rate was still pretty good. Learning to trust his knee again. Complete 70% of his passes. Didn't have a real running game to speak of. You know, a bit of a revolving door of wide receivers. Carson Wentz is a star. He's getting paid every penny from the Eagles. Let's see what happens when Tiki's not here.
D-Cell doesn't have a finger on the button.
D-Cell's already checked out. Come on, buddy. We're almost done. Finish up the show strong.
Well, you had a couple seconds to spare there.
Well, but that just read my intonation here. And when you sense that I'm done, just beep it.
There it is. Do it again.
God. Hurry up.
So Vanderbilt prospect Darius Garland, he left the combine early.
Saw this.
Because many believe he was assured by some team that he was going to be selected by them in the lottery.
Okay.
So here's the question. We talk so much about the NFL combine. Uh-huh. Why is the NBA combine not a big deal, and why does nobody care?
It's not a big deal because I feel as if you are able to extrapolate far more watching college players play basketball in terms of their projectability and, you know, what the player they'll grow into compared to the NFL, pardon me, compared to college football. I mean, think about the different styles and think about all the quarterbacks, and Tiki's great talking about this, where, you know, all the quarterbacks from the Gators in the 90s, they would throw to a spot rather than a man or a little tight window. College basketball, can you take somebody off the dribble? Can you defend? Can you work the pick and roll? Can you get to the rim? Do you hit your free throws? Like, there's really no surprises. So once you find out wingspan, which obviously is important in the NBA, and you have a little conversation with the young man, make sure he's got his head on right, It's pretty much a waste of time.
So we talked about this very briefly yesterday, but Vlad Jr.
Went
0-3.
Until?
Well, 0-3 yesterday after hitting his first two home runs on Tuesday.
Yep.
So his average, which was at 191, jumped up to 230-something after the homers, is back down to 222.
Yep.
He's been around for 6 weeks now, five weeks?
Oh, man, he's old. Just send him down.
How long do you start to worry about his struggling?
Never. Never. I never worry about his struggles. He is learning what it's like to hit big league pitching. I mean, and it's not just the stuff is better and superior to what he faced in the minors, which obviously it is. It's command. It's location. I mean, everybody in the minors throws, you know, most of them throw 95. You know, the good prospects minimally have a show-me curve or slider, maybe a little change of pace. But you get to the show, and they're putting a changeup on the black. I mean, they're literally throwing darts to spots that you can't square up the ball. Plus, I'm sure he's a little fidgety, a little jumpy, trying to prove the hype. Now, I'll tell you this, I don't love the shape he's in. That is not the kind of body weight and body type that you want to play for 20 years. But in terms of hitting, not a fear in the world. He'll get it.
So the NCAA might actually be getting smart. They're starting a group headed by Big East Commissioner Val Ackerman and the Big Ten Commissioner as well to research how they can possibly allow student athletes to be compensated for their likeness.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a good start, or is it kind of just a little bit too little, too late?
What I hope it isn't is them just trying to placate people and, you know, make it a dog and pony show and just, hey, we're going to try to do this and we're going to try to fix the situation. But really, then they get in a room and they laugh at the student athletes and they have no interest, which, by the way, I don't believe is the case. I know Val a little bit. We've had her in the studio, but obviously she runs the Big East, as Mike referenced. My reaction to anything like this is positive because conversations amongst smart, motivated people generally yields positive results. So I am framed to the positive rather than predisposed to the negative, and put them in a room, throw a bunch of things on the table, have their best interest in mind, and you go from there. And hopefully something good comes out of it, and I think it will.
Last one. We talked obviously a lot about Brooks Koepka today and about the first round of the PGA. Danny Lee hanging around at -6.
Danny Lee.
The New Zealander with a 64.
Boy.
So are you buying that anybody can actually catch Koepka, or does he have to choke to lose this?
Well, I don't know if he has to choke. I mean, choke to me would be if he balloons, he goes 63 today, comes out tomorrow. First of all, he's not going to choke. He's a world-class player. Well, Greg Norman did choke, amen, corner. I guess there are Jordan Spieth choked at Augusta. I guess world-class players could choke. So let me take that back. Brooks Koepka is too good to implode. I won't use the word choke. I'll give it back. He's not going to go 63-79. If he's somewhat pedestrian and he's 71 or 70 or 72 or even 69, is the door open? Yeah, I believe at that point the door is ajar. I mean, the thing about these players, they're here for a reason. And if they get in the zone and they find this course fits their eye, you never know. They're pros.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
My prediction for Brooks tomorrow. What's the weather going to be like tomorrow? I've gotten conflicting reports tomorrow. Mike, what's the weather tomorrow? Can you look it up in Farmingdale? We might get a little. Do the hourly forecast, can you?
Yeah, it looks like there's some rain. Let's see. Starting at 6 a.m., not much. Yeah. And then we move on to 9, not much. Around noon, 5%, 22% chance of rain at 1 o'clock.
Okay, it's not too bad.
And Koepka, you were asking before, is teeing off at 129 with Tiger.
Yep.
So around that 1 o'clock, a little 15 to 20% rain.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of rain, but
midday,
you're going to see a little bit of that.
What's the wind at? Is it 11, 12, 13, or 4 or 5 miles per hour?
You know, I'm going to reopen
important.
That back up.
Hey,
let's
listen,
see here.
I mean, if you're going to do the weather, you got to do it right.
12 miles an hour, 8 miles an hour.
So it's going to fluctuate a little bit.
It's going to be around 12 for most of the midday.
Oh, then that's going to be a little problematic. You're trying to get to these par fours that are 500-plus yards and a little uphill greens with false fronts. I mean, again, it doesn't matter to us, but if you're a world-class player and you are, you know, every inch, every angle, every degree of your backswing and everything is basically math. It's math. I mean, really is what it equates to at that level. Most of us will grab an 8-iron, hit it 150 on a good day, a little more, a bad day, a little less. But we neighborhood it, for lack of a better description. These guys, literally, as they confer with their caddy, who has mapped out the entire course, and they are plotting to quadrants on the green. And it happens a lot. Again, it doesn't seem like a big deal to us, but a lot of times guys will hit a ball, and as the ball's mid-flight, and they've already committed to the shot, the wind picks up, and that knocks it down a tick. That hits the front, false front, with a stimp that's rolled in 13. That thing's going to funnel down. So I would imagine that wind at 12 miles per hour, that's going to be a bit of a problem. Not where it knocks you to your knees and it's merciless, but I think that's going to be a little confounding tomorrow. All right, NBA tonight. Yeah, I'm with Antonio Daniels. I mean, I'd love to muster up a little contrived enthusiasm for the Portland Trailblazers. I just can't do it. I can't do it. How am I going to tell you Portland's going to win? I mean, let alone, how am I going to tell you Portland's going to find a way to stop Steph Curry, who is taking this very personal without Kevin Durant and beginning to reassert himself as one of the best players in the world that for some reason we continue to ignore? Where do you think he is? What number off the top of your head, D-Cell? Best in terms ranking, best player in the world. Steph Curry is?
5.
Mike? Ish?
Yeah.
5-ish?
5-ish.
5-ish, Durant, LeBron, you want to throw Giannis, Kawhi. Yeah, I'd say between 5, 6, and 7. But I think 2 years ago, it was kind of like that more 2-3 area. So he's getting back to it. And I think the Warriors probably win going away. But hopefully we get a good game. Either way, we'll see you tomorrow. Good luck to Tiki playing at the stadium tonight. My guy is back with me tomorrow. Have a great Thursday. Peace. Gotta go.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.